Easter reminds us of the most important fact of the Christian history, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is no historical event that has occurred that has greater substantial evidence and proof that it occurred than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the Scriptures, just the New Testament alone, the explanation and the setting forth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is mentioned over 100 different times. It is the theme and the principal doctrine which the apostles, the early apostles of the church in the New Testament, preached and declared. And they declared it with boldness and with authority and with confidence. And that was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We find it in the book of Acts. We find it mentioned in the Gospels. We find it as the key element of the Apostle Paul's ministry and of John and of Peter. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is certain. It is sure. It is proven. We can trust it. And as a result, it can have its impact upon our hearts and lives. And I want us to examine today a passage of Scripture that talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His declaration of the fact that He was the resurrection and the life. But before we get to the passage, I want to give you a little bit of background that occurred prior to His declaration, so that you'll have a little bit of knowledge about the circumstances in which the Lord Jesus made His bold declaration. Jesus had some friends, three of them in particular. It was a brother and two sisters. The man's name was Lazarus, and he had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And they lived in a town called Bethany. And often the Lord Jesus would go to be with them. They described them as His friends. And they described Jesus as their friend. Well, the Lord Jesus had gone across the Jordan River. And He had gone to the spot where John the Baptist had first begun doing His baptizing. And while He was there, He received word from His friends that Lazarus, His friend back in Bethany, had taken sick. And they had asked Him to come and leave His ministry and come and take care of Lazarus, His friend. And He said, no, the illness that Lazarus has is not going to be a bad thing. In fact, it's going to show forth the glory of God. And so He stayed where He was ministering yet several more days. Well, finally, as He was about ready to leave, He received word from His friends that Lazarus had died. And the Lord Jesus says, no, he has not died. He's just sleeping. Let us go, for we will use this circumstance to prove God's power and His might. That's the background. Now the Lord Jesus is coming to Bethany. He's coming to see His friends Mary and Martha and to take care of Lazarus, who from a human standpoint has died. And we take it up in the Gospel of John chapter 11 and we read these verses starting in verse 20. It says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him. But Mary stayed at home in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto Him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And that's the conversation between Jesus and Mary and Martha. And ultimately the Lord Jesus went and He called Lazarus forth and He brought him forth from the tomb and brought him back to life again. I want us to look at this declaration that the Lord Jesus made to Martha in this saddest of all human circumstances, the death of a loved one. And the Lord Jesus said unto Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And I want us to examine this aspect, this statement of the Lord Jesus about his resurrection, about his nature of the resurrection. And I pray that the Spirit of God will use it in your heart and life today. And that as a consequence of the truth being brought to you today, that the Spirit of God will bring to you new life in Jesus Christ. That you will cast your trust upon the Lord Jesus. And that you as a believer in Jesus Christ would find strength and encouragement in your faith in the Lord Jesus. And that you might be renewed and revived as a result of the Spirit applying the truth in your life today. The first thing I want you to notice about this statement of the Lord Jesus, this declaration that he makes, I am the resurrection. I want you to notice what he doesn't say. Notice he doesn't say, I raise the dead. He doesn't say, I give resurrections. Now, the Lord Jesus did in fact raise the dead. And the scriptures account for us at least three of those times when the Lord Jesus did bring back someone from the dead. There was the widow of Nain. Her only son died. And the Lord Jesus stopped the funeral procession and brought the young man back to life. And then there's another time where it talks about a young maiden who had died. And the Lord Jesus went to her bedside and brought her back to life again. And then there's the circumstance that was about to occur in the experience of Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus when he brought Lazarus from the dead. But notice the Lord Jesus didn't say, I raised the dead. He did have that power. But that's not the declaration that the Lord Jesus made. The declaration that the Lord Jesus made here, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. The statement that he was making here was one of identifying his character and his nature. Inherent within me is resurrection. Part of my nature and character is resurrection. New life. The fact that those who believe and trust in me shall never die. And you say, well, now, wait a minute. Lazarus died. Physically, yes. Spiritually, he was still alive. For you see, the statement that the Lord Jesus makes concerning Lazarus is underlying it, the assumption in the mind of the Lord Jesus that Lazarus is still alive. He makes the statement that he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He shall be alive even though his body is dead. Well, how can that be? Because inherent in the Lord Jesus is that quality of eternal life, that spiritual life that never dies. Well, physical life, physical death occurs, but that spiritual life that the Lord Jesus has inherent within him never dies. And it's that kind of life that he gives. He says that he gives it unto those who believe. And then he challenges Martha, do you believe? So that Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead physically, yet shall he live spiritually. You see, for the believer in Jesus Christ, death is an event, not a condition. And all too often we are geared and trained to view death as a condition, when in fact for the believer it is merely an event. It's the death of the physical outward body that all of us have, all of us face that kind of death. But the Lord Jesus was talking about a new kind of life, a quality of life that would never die. And it's of that life that he speaks, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So we notice that the Lord Jesus, in contrast to saying, I raise people from the dead, which he could do, he instead boldly declares, inherent within me is life everlasting. I am the resurrection and the life. That's the first thing I want you to notice in his declaration to Martha in this circumstance. The second thing I want you to notice is he makes reference to the fact that he is deity. He makes reference to the fact that he is God. And he does it in this fashion. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. His declaration is one of the eternal existence that he shares with God. He doesn't say, I have resurrection. He doesn't say, I had resurrection. He says, I am the resurrection. Boldly declaring his equality with God and his eternal existence. I am. In fact, in the Gospel of John, we read 7 such declarations of the Lord Jesus. I am. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. Here the one is, I am the resurrection. Boldly announcing his equality with God and the fact that he was deity. I want you to notice back just a few verses in the Gospel of John chapter 10, verse number 18. The Lord Jesus declaring himself to have life within himself. And here's what he says. John chapter 10, verse 18. It says, no man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of the Father. So the Lord Jesus was saying, I am the resurrection and the life. And then we read also further in the writings of the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in Romans chapter 1, this one event in the life of Christ is one of the things that boldly proves and solidly confirms the fact that he is God. And here's what he says, Romans chapter 1, verse number, starting in verse number 3, concerning the Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now here's the verse I want you to notice. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. So Paul is announcing here to the believers at Romans that the resurrection of Jesus Christ proves and confirms the fact that Jesus was the Son of God, begotten, not made. You see, he was of one essence with God the Father, sharing the same nature as God the Father, because he was begotten of the Father, not created by the Father. So that the Lord Jesus shares the very nature and the very essence of character of God the Father himself. And the proof, the evidence of his deity, of his equality with God, is the fact that he came to life again, the resurrection that occurred so many years ago and so solidly proven in history. That confirms the deity of Jesus Christ. So when the Lord Jesus was talking to Martha in the midst of her sorrow, he first of all reminds her, I am the one who has life within me. He that believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And then he goes on from that and he describes and explains to her the fact that he is God. He is deity. I am the eternal existent one. Scripture say before Abraham was, I am, the Lord Jesus declares. And he says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. No one takes my life. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to bring it back again. God has made it that way in my life. Now I want you to notice a third thing that the Lord Jesus covers with Martha in this time of sadness, and that is this. He says, I am the life. I am the resurrection. Then he also says, I am the life. So that there is something here that is contrasted with the kind of life that Martha and Mary were commonly thinking about, and that is the physical life. All they could see about their brother Lazarus was from a physical nature. They couldn't see the spiritual life. And all they could understand was that Lazarus, their brother, was dead, physically. And to them, that was the end of it. In fact, if we read on further in this 11th chapter, when the Lord Jesus was going to the tomb of Lazarus, he said, oh, don't go there. It's been 3 days now since he's been there. Well, now, what did that mean? Well, the people of that day felt that the spirit of one who died was close in proximity with the one who died for 3 days. After 3 days, it was gone. The scriptures describe for us that when Jesus arrived at the tomb of Lazarus, it was the fourth day. And that is crucial to understanding what the Lord Jesus is trying to explain to Mary and to Martha and to those around in the company with them. He was wanting them to understand that what they believed and what they understood about life didn't count. He was the resurrection and the life. And he was wanting to explain to them through the circumstance of Lazarus and through their circumstances of life and through the death of their brother that he was the giver of life and that the kind of life that he gives is eternal. It never dies. The physical may die, but the life, the spirit life that he gives never dies. And he wanted to bring that forth into the life of Lazarus. He wanted to prove it to Mary and to Martha. And so he makes his declaration in verse number 25. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. The life that I give, he shall never die. Believest thou this? That was the challenge that the Lord Jesus gave to Martha. The scriptures confirm the fact that the Lord Jesus was life. John the Apostle talks about it a great deal in his gospel. Notice in the very first chapter of his gospel, John makes reference to the fact that the Lord Jesus was life. Listen as I read. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The Lord Jesus is life. And then we see the statement again that the Lord Jesus himself makes here in verse number 26 of chapter 11. It says, whosoever believeth in me shall never die. For the life that I give is eternal. It never fades away. It never ceases. It never ends. Now, what does the Spirit of God want these truths to accomplish in your heart and life today? Well, the first thing he wants to do is he wants to clarify for you the truth. He wants you to see in opposition to each other what is false and what is true. He wants you to see that we in our finite minds usually only grasp physical life and death. We also have an understanding among ourselves that because that's how we view life, that the Lord Jesus and the resurrection somehow is just a fable. It's a myth. It didn't occur. And against that, the Spirit of God wants to clarify for you the truth. And the truth is this, that the Lord Jesus is true. He is the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in him shall never die. Though he were dead, yet shall he live, he says. At the time that you have physical death, you have ongoing, eternal, spiritual life. And the Spirit of God wants to clarify for you the truth. And that knowing the truth, you might alter and adjust your life according to the truth. On the one hand, because you know the truth, you will set aside that which is false. You will set aside the common notion of our day that the resurrection is a myth. That you will set aside the popular belief that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus never occurred. And that instead you will conform your life to the truth. That you will believe the statement of the Lord Jesus, the God-man, I am the resurrection and the life. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. And he proved it in the life of Lazarus. And he wants to prove it in your life. He can prove it to you as well. And he wants you to conform your life and adjust your pattern of living according to the truth. The scriptures tell us that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But you see, the truth can't make you free until you apply the truth into your life. Just knowing it as a factual body of truth, that has no change upon you. It's when you apply that truth into your own experience that that truth then sets you free. So the first thing that the Spirit of God wants to do in your life today is to clarify the truth, that you might set aside that which is false and conform your life to that which is true. The second thing that the Spirit of God wants to do with these truths in your life today is to convict you of sin. Where in your life today, as we've examined these truths from John chapter 11, has the Spirit of God convicted you of sin? Perhaps today the Spirit of God has pointed out to you that you do not trust Jesus Christ. You have never cast your trust upon him. And the Spirit of God has identified that in your life. You've never believed his statements or the Word of God. And the Spirit of God has shown that to you today. Perhaps today the Spirit of God has convicted you as a believer in Jesus Christ of your failure to believe all that he has said. You've had some questions and some doubts in your own mind about the resurrection, about how true it is, and could it really have happened? And because of your doubt and your unbelief, that has affected your life. And you have not conformed your life according to the truth. And because you have failed to believe all that the Scripture has said, you have missed the full working of the Spirit of God in your heart and life today. And the Spirit of God has convicted you of that, and he has pointed out in your life those areas of unbelief and of disobedience. And why has the Spirit of God done that? Has he pointed out to you that you are in fact sinful? That you have disobeyed God, that you have failed to believe him? That's the work of the Spirit of God in your life. And why does he do that? He does that he might correct you. Perhaps today will be the day that you will discover new life and experience the indwelling life of Jesus Christ for the first time. Perhaps today, in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ, in some time past, perhaps today will be the day that you will experience that washing away of the unbelief that you have carried so long. And that you will experience a repentance, a turning from unbelief to full belief and trust in what the Scriptures declare about the Lord Jesus. And you will walk in a life of new obedience to him. Perhaps today that will occur in your life. And you will experience a renewing, a refreshing, a reviving work of the Spirit of God in your heart and life. And what is the end result of correcting us, of changing us, of renewing us, of regenerating us from sin? It's that we might be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. A last question for you. What changes does the Spirit of God require in your life today because of these truths? On the one hand, you can set it all aside and say, I still believe it's a fable. It's a myth. I don't believe it. And you can set it aside and you can continue to walk in your sin and ultimately face the judgment of God, the eternal judgment of God. Or you can yield to that work and ministry of the Spirit of God in your life. And you can cast your trust and your confidence upon the Lord Jesus. And you can find the Spirit of God bringing you to a renewed faith in Christ today. And find a spiritual renewal and reviving as your experience because you yielded to the work and ministry of the Spirit of God. The verse says, "Whosoever believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" I urge you today and pray that you will believe the truth of Scripture and the bold declaration of Jesus Christ concerning His resurrection.